Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
You really never hear about NFL teams that work out a trade not having that trade go through because of clerical, silly issues, as if you're trying to process paperwork with the DMV. That's what happened last night with the Browns and the Bengals at the trade deadline. We wanted to get an executive on to discuss the trade process, and who better than Andrew Brandt, who's one of the smartest guys in the media and one of our favorite people who cover the NFL, former team president in Green Bay with the Packers, weekly columnist at the MMQB, host of the Business of Sports podcast. So, Andrew, can you just take us through, I guess, to start how that works? Let's say you're working a deal as a team president with Bruce Allen, who's a team president here in Washington. What has to happen from when you guys say, okay, we'll trade you the sixth rounder for your wide receiver, to actually process that deal?
Yeah, good to be with you. And you can add Washington, D.C. native to that list of titles. I'm always proud of that.
That's right.
The process has been the same for a long time, which brings up its own questions, why it's become, you know, why not DocuSign or something more electronic. But you send in your confirmation of the trade from each side. So if under your scenario, I was doing a deal with Bruce, we agree, we hang up, we send in the exact terms that we agreed to, both of us separately, to the league office, to a designated personnel person there. And the surprising thing to me about the Browns, guys, is they've done this. I mean, they've made a lot of trades. They made a lot of draft trades. So they know the drill. That's why I don't, you know, I'm not conspiracy theorizing this, but I don't get it, because they know what to do. So we have to sort of see where this sort of lies. The other issue here is, of course, deadline and minutes and seconds. And I think the NFL, if they got it after 4 p.m., that's the right thing to do. You don't give a grace period, because all the other teams would be up in arms about their potential grace period. So I agree with what the NFL did. I'm shocked this happened. There's got to be a backstory, because the Browns know the rules.
I'm looking at this, Andrew, and again, it's so confusing to me. Granted, I'm just a lowly St. Albans graduate, not like your massive Landon Bears intellect here, so I'm doing the best
there
I can to comprehend this. But I look at this and I go, this seems to me to be a Browns procedural thing, but yet there's still, I guess, something that Cincinnati could have done here. I guess they're claiming they never got the paperwork. I thought it was independent. I'm so confused. Do you understand where this one went awry?
Well, I guess I'm sort of reading between the lines that there was communication that didn't get received from the Bengals to the Browns, which is sort of the own internal logistics of the deal. But the officialness of the deal, if you will, comes from the league, not from either side. So maybe there was a step in between that the Browns say, well, they didn't get me their confirmation that we can go ahead and call the league on this. I mean, given some benefit of the doubt, it is crazy at the deadline. A lot of things are going on. They're trying to get things resolved. Maybe they're dealing with McCarron's agent. Maybe they're trying to get a deal done there, a financial deal. But it just seems odd that this happens, almost to the point where, you know, maybe they got cold feet about the deal. You have to sort of throw that in the mix.
That was the weird thing, to Danny's point, Andrew, is you've got the two different kind of stories being told now. One, which is, well, the teams are supposed to call the league after a deal's in place anyway to say, hey, check out this paperwork, it's on its way. So the Browns must not have done that. But the Browns, through their reporters, Mary Kay Cabot and other people, said they did everything they were supposed to, and the Bengals just sent this document without their signature. So to me, that, I know that it's easy to club the Browns, and that's what everyone in the media is going to do today, but if they sent the document and the Bengals sent the wrong one, are they actually in the wrong?
Well, somebody is, and maybe it is the Bengals' fault. Man. I mean, these trades happen all the time. They happened 5 times yesterday. and the Bills and Carolina got one done for Benjamin at 357.
Yeah, they figured it out.
So it happens. Yeah, I mean, listen, again, if the deadline wasn't an issue, you know, it gets done. It gets done later that day. It gets done the next day. We're in the off season. I mean, we're in the middle of the season, but, you know, it could have happened last week and there wouldn't have been an issue at 4, 5, and 6, and 8 at night. But it's a deadline deal. It didn't happen. It makes the Browns look bad. And let me just say this, and I may get slammed for this, but going into this, the off season, I was all in on the Browns. I get it. You're hiring the baseball guy from Moneyball. You're hiring DePodesta. You're tearing it down and building it up from the studs. This wasn't working. You know, for however many years, it's not working in Cleveland. Try something new. I get it. I was all in on that. But you got to hit on the picks, and you got to be able to function as a front office, which there seems to be some question now.
Andrew Brandt is with us. Always love having him. Great information. About kind of the business side of sports here on Grant and Danny in Washington, D.C. So, Andrew, I want to shift gears here for a second. This can't be good for the league because I'm someone that loves the NFL. And it makes me roll my eyes every time there's an injunction and a stay of an injunction, and then there's a conjunction also, and the different motions, whatever. But this Ezekiel Elliott thing, just A, just love for your reflection on that and kind of where you think this will end up. But B, this is something the league has to take steps to avoid the next time there's a CBA, right? They've got to find a way to avoid these kinds of things. I know I can't be the only one whose eyes roll when this stuff comes up.
Yeah, I mean, again, it's tough to know where to put the blame between the league and the union. What has ended up happening after some victories on the lower court level is the upper courts, and I include Tom Brady, Adrian Peterson, and now Ezekiel Elliott, are saying, well, wait a minute. You guys agreed to this in the CBA. Why is the union coming in front of us here? And I know the union can say it's not fair. They didn't include this witness. They didn't include the investigator. They didn't include the complaining witness who was allegedly abused. But the fact of the matter is the parties agreed to an arbitration process that judges are saying we're not going to mess with. So the fact is it shouldn't be getting to court. It is getting to court, but for some sketchiness in the investigation that the union claims the league has, and it's ending up back where it started because of the reason it shouldn't be in court, which is the CBA. Now, on your question about whether they're going to fix this, listen, I knew that the power of Goodell was an issue the last CBA. Mm-hmm. Is it going to be an issue the next one? Yeah, but it's a bargaining session. So what are you going to give up to get independent arbitration? And unfortunately, that's where it is with these two sides. They don't like each other. They don't trust each other. Everything's a fight. So a long list. We talk about what the union wants out of the next negotiation. How are you going to get that? And is the, you know, are you going to go to Armageddon with a strike? Who knows? But this is the tough spot the union finds himself in.
We got about a minute left with Andrew Brandt. I want to get your thoughts on something Danny and I didn't have an answer to earlier today. Why do you think there was an uptick in action at the deadline? That felt like baseball or basketball, some other sport yesterday.
Yeah, I did, and I never got much trading done in my time with the Packers. We used to send proposals to move it back to Thanksgiving to allow for more baseball-like trades. Couple things. One is relationships. You know, Howie Roseman, Mike Tannenbaum, Miami, Philadelphia, back when I was in the league, we all came up together. They're best of friends. They know each other well. Buffalo, Carolina, Sean McDermott, they know each other really well. Cap room's another part of it. Teams are better managed. They can take on these salaries. And I think that there's this trust now among general managers, especially, like I said, that know each other, that when you get a Jay Ajayi, you know, you're not asking what's wrong with him. You're trusting the other side. It's a bargain basement price of fourth round. Marcell Dareus for a fifth rounder, great player, but has issues. So it kind of makes sense, a low round pick. I just think GMs are getting smarter, trusting each other more, and the cap space is not an issue anymore.
Andrew, always love having you on, man. Appreciate you hopping on today on short notice. Good information as always.
You got it, guys.
Thanks, Andrew. He's great. Andrew Brandt on Grant and Danny here on 106.7 The Fan. Hey, guys, Grant Paulson for my buddy Jerry Mannix and Mannix Heating and Cooling. I've told you about these pros and all aspects of their game, how clean and respectful they were at my dad's house. You cannot miss their orange trucks all over the area. Their pricing's competitive. No one competes with their high quality of work, and nobody's better with Mitsubishi Electric heating systems, which you need this time of year for that room in your house that's always cold. Hard to sleep maybe in that one bedroom or the basement, just colder than the rest of the house. Mitsubishi Electric heating systems feature individual room controls so you enjoy precise comfort while cutting energy costs. The Mitsubishi Electric system can cool or heat this time of year. Multiple rooms, one at a time if you want. You can use a smartphone or a tablet to do it. My dad's sunroom, more comfortable than it's ever been before. You got to call Mannix Heating and Cooling at 703-777-9211. That's 703-777-9211. Or go to ManixHVAC.com and tell them Grant sent you. You're not going to regret that call.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.